The Bible reading today is taken from John chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." And the second Bible reading is taken from Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. I'm sorry, verse 18 to 19. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much for the reading. And without much ado, I would love to invite our preacher. Our preacher is no new person to us. He's been here several times. He's part of us, actually. He's an author. He's a preacher. He is a church planter as well, based in Amsterdam. He has service to the prostitutes in Amsterdam. And his work is around the red light district in Amsterdam. So without much ado, I would love church with a clap to welcome Matthew Helan.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Can you hear me? Hey, that's wonderful. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Matthew Helan, and I've been coming to ICF for many years, and so some of you know me, some of you don't. Hi. He just mentioned I wrote my first book. It's called Prophesy and Heal the Sick, How to Grow in Prophecy, Words of Knowledge, Healing, and Power Evangelism. There's two subjects which many Christians and non-Christians do not understand. The first is evangelism, like people are scared of that, and another one is prophecy. So I have a few of these books if you want to get one in the back for 17 euros. My next book is going to be on evangelism, how to share the gospel, because many people, again, whenever they think of evangelism, they think about some weirdo on a box who's yelling, "Repent or you're going to go to hell," when actually sharing the love of Jesus, the good news of the kingdom of heaven, is one of the most wonderful, wonderful, and at times not difficult things that we can do, because what's inside of you will come out. Now, I've been asked today to speak on this subject, freedom for all, and I'm going to be sharing a lot about international justice mission, and I'll be also sharing about the work that I'm doing in Amsterdam, and then I'll be bringing it back to what I believe God is saying to us this morning. Let me just stand down here so I can be a little closer to you guys. Woo! We just read a scripture, and this is actually the scripture you got to put that in the laptop. Okay. The scripture that we just shared was actually the first scripture that Jesus said when he went to tell everybody why he had come. He said, "I have come here to preach the good news to the poor." And growing up, I remember that people would talk about like a social gospel and a spiritual gospel, and then make a division. And I really don't believe there is a division. I believe there's a holistic gospel. I believe that God has come to save our hearts, our souls, our bodies, our minds. I believe that He wants to give us life. And here He talks about being anointed to proclaim good news to the poor. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And the reality that we live in today, you've got to understand, the reality that you and I have is not the reality which many people in the world live in. And for many of you from other nations, you'll attest to that. Jesus told a story once about a rich man named Lazarus. And every day he would have purple clothes on and he'd eat all he wanted to eat. And he was well off. And there was this poor man who was outside his gates who had wounds. And he only gave him the crumbs that were on his table. And he had everything he wanted, but Lazarus had nothing. And then the story goes on. And after they pass away, the rich man is actually in hell. And Lazarus is there in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man is still telling to God, he's saying, hey, why don't you tell Lazarus to come down and put a little bit of water on my tongue? Why don't you get him to, actually, this isn't my fault that I'm in here. And in many ways, we can look at the story. And the way I want to apply it today is that us in the Western world, in many ways, we are like the rich man. We are like the rich man in that we don't have to worry about our clothes. We don't have to worry about our food. We don't have to worry about anything. We've got everything taken care of. And if we are not careful, we will ignore and not even know about how a huge percentage of the world is living in. Now, please, I'm not condemning anybody here. I just want to present to you and open our eyes to the reality that many people are living in. For example, right here, I have a 50-euro bill. 2 billion people in the world, this is their income for 1 month or less. 1 month. 2 billion. 400 million people live as slaves today. There are more slaves today than there were in all the time that people were being taken out of Africa and exported all over the world. And I want to share with you guys what the good life is all about. This is a quote from Rick Warren. He says, the good life is not about looking good, feeling good, or having the goods. It is about doing good and being good. It is about giving your life away. Significance in life does not come from status, sex, or salary. It comes in serving. It is giving our lives away that we find significance. Purpose of influence is to speak up for those who have no influence. If you have had the fortune to be born in the Netherlands or Western Europe or to live here, God has placed you here for a reason. And the reason is that you can be a voice for those who have no voice. That you can be the hands and the feet of Jesus for the people around the nations. It is not for anything that you are smart enough, that you have the ability to study here in one of the best universities in Holland. God has brought you here for a reason. And it is not just to be fat, wealthy, and happy. Because true happiness is serving others. Let me tell you a couple stories. Let me start off with the story of Laura. Did you know that the greatest fear that women have in many parts of the world is being raped? They're not safe. Laura lives in a little slum in the capital of Kenya. And there in the little slum, her father would rape her. And then when she'd go to the toilet, because there's no, you know, men would grab her, rape her, throw 75 cents down. And then she'd go to school. And what would happen at school? She'd go to school, and on the way to school, she'd be raped. And she went to IJF, and she went to get help, and they took her to a doctor. And they said, you know, let's get the proof of this happening. Let's go to the police. But if you go to the police there, the only way that they will accept proof is that there's, for the whole city of millions, there's only one doctor that you can go to. And that one doctor has to have official papers. And that doctor is often not in his office. And finally, when they were able to go to that doctor, he examined her and he said, you were never raped. And he was never prosecuted, any of the men that ever did this to her. So what does that mean? The women in that city know that if they are raped, they will not be taken care of by the police. You and I have the reality that we can call the cops, that we can get help. A huge percent of the world cannot call police to get help. So what's one of the biggest injustices that we need to fight in the world? Is stopping sexual violence. Now, understand, I'm all for water wells. I'm all for micro business. I've done all these things. But as this week I read IJF and I studied all these things, they brought up to the point, hey, these are all wonderful things, but what if girls can't go to school? What if they can't take these things because of violence? What are something that we need to be able to address? Let me tell you a few more stories. This is Bruno. Bruno sold beads, and his oldest girl was getting ready to go to college, and he had two twins, and he was ready to go sell beads when all of a sudden the police grabbed him, and they threw him into his truck, and they went and they stole all his money and stole all the things in his house, and they told him that he had committed a crime, and he knew nothing about this. And so what did they do? They said, if you want out, you need to pay $23. Of course, that's half of his month's salary, and he doesn't have it. And so what do? They take him and they torture him until he's going to be, till he confesses that he's committed a crime he has not committed. And then they throw him in jail, and for 9 months, he's never put to trial. He's there just waiting to be on trial. His girl doesn't get to go to college. His family is hurt and broken. By the way, if you're on Netflix, if you have Netflix, watch the series about the worst prisons in the world. Watch the one about the Philippines, where people have to go to prison for 8 years before they ever go to trial. And many of them, they're found innocent, and they've just lost 8 years of their lives. I'm not telling these stories because I like to tell these stories. I'm just telling these stories because I want us to know about the reality of how many people in the world live. And part of the reason that they live this way is because police in many countries do not get paid well, they have not been trained, and who do they serve? They serve people who have money. And if you don't have money, they're not going to serve you. And I see some people nodding at me as if they, yes, this is true. What is missing in helping the poor? Stopping sexual abuse, stopping police abuse. Gauri in India. By the way, these are all people that IJF has helped. This girl, by the way, I don't know if you really say Gauri or Gauri, but she had a medical need, and there was somebody who was going to give her a job, and he gave her a loan for $300. And what did he end up doing? He ended up putting her in slavery for 10 years. She couldn't get out. She had to get her food from him. She couldn't go to the hospital. She couldn't go anywhere. And by the way, there are now 400 million people like her in the world that are indentured slaves. And why are many people like this not able to be helped? Because the boss can beat them. And according to this story, he was paying the police 500 rupees to come in and to beat all his workers. I know these are not feel-good stories, but it's good to realize the reality that many people live in. What is missing in helping the poor? Stopping slavery. And one more story. Read a story. In parts of Africa, when a widow, her husband dies, then her family will come in, the family of her husband will come in, kick them off of that land, and that land is the source of her income, the source of her food, the source of her everything, and her children can die. And what does the Bible repeatedly talk about? Helping widows and orphans. Helping widows and orphans. So here are four areas, and I could go on and on about stories, but I want to tell you a little bit what IJF's doing and what we can do, how we can be a part of this answer. Here's a little model that they use. Oops. Ooh, I went ahead. Right here. We partner with those working in the local justice system to help victims of violence. It all begins with the one. It all begins with helping that one individual or that one person. And as you begin to help that person, you find ways to rescue them, you find ways to restore them and help them, and then you find ways to go in there and to restrain, get the culprits of this doing this, and then to help change things in the justice system so that the justice system will be changed and you're helping protect the poor and preventing violence from happening again. By the way, they have a wonderful model. This happened in Cebu in the Philippines, the second largest city of the Philippines, that they went in. And many people in the Philippines said, human trafficking? We don't have that problem. And they went in and they started working with the local police and training them and giving them resources. And after 4 years, they were able to save over 260 children from human trafficking, from slave trading, and put over 100 people in prison. And they studied, they saw that the human trafficking went down 79% in that one city. And I can tell you more examples of how they've been able to go in and many more heartbreaking stories. But let me bring this a little closer to home. Is that okay? There's this crazy guy in Amsterdam. That's me. I have a bunch of flowers. And every week I spend 1 or 2 days visiting the men and the women who work in the red light district. And in Holland, we live under this naive stupidity that Freiheit is Blijheid. And we have legalized prostitution. And what we have done is we have legalized human trafficking. And I know this. Let me talk to you about what happened a month ago. A month ago, let me go back 5 years ago. 5 years ago, we had a mayor in Amsterdam who said, human trafficking is going on. This thing needs to stop. We need to shut down the windows. So half the windows were shut down. About 2 years ago, maybe more, the city decided to create a brothel called My Red Light. So there you have the city of Amsterdam that's created this brothel. And they said, there is no human trafficking. There is no oppression. None of that's taking place. And a month ago, they came out and said, you know what? We can't stop it. We can't stop the things that are taking place. And every week when I go to the red light district, there are women who look at me and say, I want to get out. I want to stop. I need help. Every week. And I see them the next week. A room, if you work 30 days, let's see, a room is around a little, if you work at night, it's almost 200 euros. So if you take 200 times 10, 2,000, 30 days, that's almost, let's make it lower number, 5,000 euros. If you want to give a room in Amsterdam, it's 1,500 euros. If you want to pay all that different things just to work there as a sex worker in Amsterdam, you're looking easily 7,000 euros a month just to work there. And I can talk more about all the injustices and things that are taking place, but let me tell you about lives that I've seen changed in the last 2 years. Women who've been able to get out and women who have been able to begin to develop and blooming and growing. One woman who had been there and working there for over 30 years, 10 years ago, she wanted to get out, but she couldn't find anybody. And she found us. And we were able to get her out of there, get help, get a house. And the first 2 times we saw her, all she did was weep like a baby. And now when you see her, man, she's nothing but smiles. She's nothing but look at what God has done in my life. And why do I share these things? Because God has called you and me to be a part of the solution, whether that be in Amsterdam, in Holland, or wherever God would call you to be. Because the Bible says, whenever you do it for one of the least of these, you are doing it for me. So this is one of the things that I pray about, and I'm asking God, Lord, help us to not only help people get out of prostitution, Lord, help us to find work. Help us to find a place where they can stay. Help us to find a way that they can get out. And one of the ladies we were able to help, someone here in Veenendaal, which is close by, they've been able to find someone where she can live with. They're helping her get a job. They're helping her get the resources. And I believe that we as a church are called not to just have nice church services and praise the Lord, but there's enough resources among us that you and I can find ways to help women find work, help women find a place that they can stay, to help individuals find the freedom and the development that God has called them to live in. Can I get an amen? Anybody think this is true? Okay. Now, I believe that God will speak to us and lead us in how he's calling you to do. By the way, when I was 13, There's an evangelist who came through my city in Oklahoma. I'm American, by the way, if you didn't pick that up already. And he started talking about how evil the red light district was and how the women were like in their underwear and people doing drugs and all these things about red light district. And I remember saying, thinking to God, God, I'll go to Africa, I'll go to Latin America, but God, I never want to go to Amsterdam. Why? Because I was afraid of the red light district. And now that's where I get to be every week. And I love it. I love being a pastor to the individuals that are were there. So be careful when you say, God, I never want to do this or I never want to do that. Now, let me end with two quick verses. Ooh, look at that crazy guy. Hallelujah. It's so cool handing out flowers. So, and you know what I say? Every week I get to go there, and every week I go. I always go with another Christian woman here. I'm talking about myself again, and I get to go in, and especially Latinos, they believe in God, and we get to just grab hands, and I get to pray for them, and you know what I tell them? God loves you. You're so special. He has plans to give you hope in the future. Ah, so cool. Anyways. The question I want to give you this morning is, who is your master? Whoa. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. This morning, I just want to challenge you, who is your master? What we find out is that when we take the lie that our culture plays is on us, that I need to live for myself. I need to have my own freedom and make my own decisions. In Dutch, we say, ikka, 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 and the rest mag stikken. That's me, and the rest can choke. It's all about me. That true happiness, true fulfillment is not in there. Rather, it will lead to a type of spiral, and this is how it goes. Let's say that I make money my king, or sex my king, or lust, or whatever you want to put in there, drugs. What happens is that you take that, and that'll give you like a happiness for a little bit, and then you will be empty. And that emptiness, what will that transform into? That will be transformed into either depression or aggression. And then you have this emptiness, and what do? You try to fix that again with whatever you might try to fix yourself with. And that might fill you for a little bit, but that will not give you true happiness. And one of the things that Jesus says is that he has come. He's the bread of life, the water of life. He wants to give us true satisfaction, true life, so that we don't have to find our life in anything else. We don't have to be slaves to anybody or anything else, but we can be sons and daughters of God forever. Let me finish it with this verse. This is what God is calling all of us, all over the world, to know. And I think this is so beautiful. He says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. God wants you to know that you are a beloved son and daughter of God. You are not what you have. You are not what people think of you. You are not your diploma. You are not what you do. You don't have to, in Dutch, the word is prestatie. You don't have to perform to show the world that you are somebody. God sent his son, Jesus, to die for you. And you are you're awesome no matter how much education or money or anything. You are a beloved son and daughter of God. This is true freedom. The spirit you receive does not make you, make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Right now, there's a study that there's a huge percentage of Dutch students who are struggling with depression, some of them with thoughts of suicides and burnout. Why? Because they've got to prove that they're somebody. They've got to show that there's so much druk, there's so much pressure on them. If you come to Jesus, one of the things that Jesus says is you don't have to have any pressure. Because I come to bring you true rest. And this is what's so beautiful about this. It says, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. You know what Abba means? Papa. Do you know that God is not like this long-bearded man on a huge thing with a big stick that wants to hit you if you're performing bad? He wants to be your Abba, your Papa. He wants to be what I am for Benjamin, my six-year-old, who climbs up on me in the morning and kisses me. Papa, where are you, Papa? That's what God wants to have with you. He wants to have an intimate, close relationship as a father or son. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. This is why I came here this morning, to share with us. Let us let true freedom ring throughout the world, but let us not do it first without finding true freedom for ourselves. Who are you? Who are you called to be? This morning, God says, I want you to know what it is to meet my son and my daughter. I love you. And then as we bask in his love, we will be able to take his love and to take it and to bring freedom and love all around the world. I'm a preacher, so let me do one last scripture. Perfect love casts out fear, for fear speaks about punishment. God wants to set everyone free from the tyranny of fear and sin, and that they can have new life. And what can we do? Oh, man, I got one more story. Sorry, guys, I'm a preacher. There was this, during World War II, there was the statue of Jesus, and I've told this story here before, but I like it, so let me tell it one more time. There's a statue of Jesus that was blown up by a bomb, and everybody thought, oh, no, our statue of Jesus, what are we going to do? So they start putting it back together, the legs, the arms, the head, and everything, but all of a sudden they realize there's no hands. And somebody says, what are we going to do? Jesus has no hands. What are we going to do? We can't have Jesus without any hands. Can you make hands? Can you make hands? And then somebody went and put a sign underneath the statue, and it said, you and I are the hands of Jesus to the world. Let's do it. God bless you.